Test.
The official newspaper filed it with the clerk and posted notice on the bulletin boards in the borough offices. Good evening, everybody. We have a roll call, please, Kathy.
Cashmore?
Here.
Chairman Cunningham?
Here.
DeJulio? Vice Chairman DeCio?
Here.
Councilman Lexstein?
Here.
Mayor Long is absent. Schwartz? Not? Absent?
Not here.
Smith?
Here.
Duffy?
Here.
McGinley?
Here.
On to the memorialization of resolution extension of planning board approval for Victor Scuderi, 150 Ocean Ave, Block 34, Lot 4 and 4 and 401.
Make a motion.
Any discussion? We have a roll call, please.
Cashmore?
Yeah.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
DeJulio? Vice Chairman DeCio? Schwartz? Smith?
Yes.
Duffy? McGinley?
Yes.
I didn't sign it. Okay.
That's not ready. The next one.
This one?
Yeah. That, the War and Peace, Phase 2 is not quite done.
Hello.
Volume 2.
New application, Kate Shaw Construction.
Great.
Sure. You want to do the master pictures?
Well, this should.
Mr. Chairman, I have this one, Kate Shaw Construction for Avery Place, Block 2, Lot 7. I have reviewed the jurisdictional packet with the notice, updated publication and mailings, if I seem to be in good order. I've marked the jurisdictional packet as A1, and I have also marked Mr. Whittick as A2. The architectural plans prepared by to appoint, am I, wait, am I in the wrong? Hold everything, I'm on the wrong one. A1 is jurisdictional packet. A2 is minor subdivision plan insight, 11, dated 11/21, 11 revised to 11/8/16. And I've marked as A3, our letter of report from the board engineer, David Voter, dated 5/5/17.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, letters of special interest to the board. My name is Robert Wood, and I have the privilege this evening of representing the applicant, Daysha Construction, on a subdivision application that we hope you will find to be appropriate and acceptable. I'd like to begin and actually end my presentation this evening with some testimony of Jason Fisher. The board's permission wants to sworn, I'm going to brief one here as well.
You want to place your left hand on the Bible, raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that testimony you're about to give is the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Sure, Jason Fisher, F-I-C-H-T-E-R.
Mr. Fisher, how are you present?
Insight Engineering, I'm the co-founder and manager.
And are you licensed as a professional planner and what else in the state?
I'm a licensed professional engineer and professional planner in the state of New Jersey.
And how long have you been studying this?
I believe it was O1 as an engineer and O2 as a planner by example, actually been accepted by your board.
And I was just going to say, and you've testified to many boards as well as ours in the past.
Most of them in the area, and I've been to your board before, different applications in common.
I would respectfully request that.
With no objection from the board, we would accept his credentials.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Fisher, you're familiar with the project located in the Orange Reefs, right?
I am.
Would you describe the site as a facility?
Sure, so this is Block 2, Lot 7, lot is 18,425 square feet, we're in the Arctic zone. That zone requires 4,000 square foot lots. We have, I mounted up on the board by the plan was submitted, I don't know if the market sends that one.
If it's the same one, then we're good, that's A2.
All right, so as shown on A2, the property has 131.18 feet of frontage on Embry Place. We also have 46 feet of frontage on Garden Way, a little known fact about the property. We have a very unique and significant situation that affects this piece of property, and that's a 66-foot wide easement held by JCP&L, who is our interested party tonight. I'm just going to point on A1. Along the western side of the property is that 66-foot wide easement. Quite a bit of history on this property related to that easement. The applicant seeking approval to subdivide this property from 1 to 2 lots, all for single-family homes.
I don't see that. Yeah, I don't see it on the.
If you look down in Garden Way, just below the G, you'll see the dimension there.
The former railroad right-of-way.
Correct. That former railroad right-of-way became the JCP&L, no longer railroad.
So if I'm looking at this, it's not on your property, it's along.
It actually continues through our property. You'll notice the line running right up toward the C and Embry Place for the A. Here, I'll come over.
The whole width of that.
I'll just see it here.
Yes, so that.
No, I get it.
Got it. It could, just FYI, it goes from least branch to sea right.
Mr. Lansing, if I may, it actually runs from Long Ridge all the way up to Sandy, but that was the old.
Right, the old railroad right.
And then it was just on the JCP&L.
The whole thing is not 66 feet, just your particular area.
It varies from, right, or where it is in the region, it's smaller. But anyway.
Okay, so.
Same question.
Yes. So the applicant seeking approval to subdivide from 1 lot into 2, both will be intended for single-family homes. By way of this application, we're not proposing any construction, this is just an application for subdivision approval to create the lots for future construction of single-family homes. The application is fully conforming except for one minor variance related to lot depth for lot 7 point in the middle, and that would be the lot in the bottom of the sheet that's accessed from Garden Way. I'll look into that in a minute. A little bit about the history of this project. 2008, a different applicant came before this board, received minor subdivision approval, unanimous approval of the public present, for 2 lots, and it was configured with the subdivision line in the north-south direction. on the lots would have been within that easement. In 2012, this same applicant had a different application here, received minus up of its approval, also unanimous, no public presence. It was the same as the 2008 approved subdivision line, it's north-south. One condition of that approval was to resolve, again, basically submission from JCP&L to perfect the subdivision. That condition was never resolved. Great efforts were made. There was a lot of communication between us and JCP&L. They were very receptive, but we were never able to resolve that issue, and therefore we're never able to perfect the subdivision. Unfortunately, on that prior application, we went so far as to get approval from the DEP, Creole Soils, Monroe County. We even got zoning approval from Seabright for each individual lot, but we could never perfect the subdivision because of that issue. So that was our history. So this application, our task now with the subdivision is to respect that JCP&L easement.
And how do we go about it?
Yep, so we accomplished this by proposing a subdivision line in the east-west direction, referring to A2. You'll notice the proposed subdivision line going from the east-west direction. That gives us one lot fronting Embry Place, one lot fronting Garden Way. The Embry lot would be 11,000, sorry.
Could I just drift back to the easement for one second? Does this easement not show up in a title binder, a title search?
Question. It didn't originally, and what happened is we got minor subdivision approval from this board. Somebody from this board, I can't remember who,
said the board. Dave.
Said, I think there's an easement out there. Checked into it. We got the title company involved, and it was like a major exercise. We found out some questionable information, contacted JCP&L directly, and that's when we found out for a fact it was there. I just summed 5 months of work.
No more. So typically what happens to the title companies don't look that far enough.
And that's exactly what happened to the title company. The title company looked back to 1960.
They do a 60-year search.
These easements were created well before that, and you know, we would have approached it differently.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, to say, Mr. DeSayo,
I kind of knew that, but I just thought I'd ask it for the record.
Oh, yeah, no, it's...
Yeah, from 25 to 66.
Yeah, in and out.
There's a lot of people on this file that lost the last week. Yep. Okay, so the Embry lot, going back to what we're proposing now. Are we good on?
Good.
So the Embry lot will be 11,831.3 square feet proposed, and the Garden Way lot will be 6,594.12 square feet. Both of those lots are well oversized from what's required in the zone, which is 4,000 square feet. Now, the variance that's required is a lot depth variance. It's the only variance that's required for this application. And there's some good logic behind it. I'm going to try to explain that to you. Hopefully, you'll see where we're coming from. I've evaluated it both under the C1 and the C2 criteria, C1 being the hardship, and C2 being the whole thing about what we feel we're proposing something that's more fitting than what would otherwise be required. So the C1 criteria, what is the hardship is the question. We certainly have presented here with a very unique and very significant constraint on this property, and that is the JCP&L easement. 66 feet wide for a distance of about 140 feet. It takes up a lot of space on this property. The property itself, without any easements or anything, is large enough for 4 blocks. And when we look at the zoning and the frontage that we have, technically we could accommodate 3 lots. We're proposing 2. And all of this is because of the constraints imposed upon the property by the JCP&L easement. So that's the hardship. Under the C2, we came up with this layout for this subdivision. It was a combination of my planning analysis and the developer's goals for the property. I think this subdivision layout, number one, creatively accommodates the 2 lots. Number two, conforms to the neighborhood development pattern. And number three, respects the JCP&L easement. So a little more on that. Proposed lot 7.02, that's the one accessed from Garden Way, is compliant in an east-west direction. So it's a compliant lot this way because it's 50 by 131. If we turned it 90 degrees, it would conform. But because of that easement, we have to now bring it over this way. The lot depth is measured from Gardenway to the back. That's where the variance is. And yet it's still geometrically well of the size.
Do you feel that this proposal is in the best interest of the zoning ordinance for the principal name as well?
Yeah, so to that end, I was hoping I could present two simple exhibits to you.
With the permission.
So the first one is the best way to pass it around.
Yeah, so A4, tell us what it is.
This is the tax map. It's tax map sheet 3.
Dave, we're on the record, so if we have any conversations, it should be.
No, he doesn't understand what he's looking at.
Okay. Gotcha.
Well, now it's on the record. Fine time to speak up.
Sure.
A5, I think, Rosie?
A5?
Kind of step in. Because we're the principal of the case.
Thank you.
Is he the, are they local or are they?
Not big enough. All right, so this is A5.
Yes.
Okay, so this is just an aerial, Google aerial. Printed it off of Google today. It shows an aerial of the space between Henry Place, Island View Way, and then. So the question is, why the variance for lot depth?
That's the question.
Yeah, if we were to take this subdivision on and push it back 10 feet, we would be fully conformed. We're requesting this variance. Let's take a look at the tax map first. Actually, what would be the area of this? What I'd like you to focus
on. Excuse me one sec. Let me send out extras, and if anybody in the audience wants them, they can click in. There you go.
We have it. Yeah, we have. Yep. We have extras
of both of them. So.
Hey, this isn't the McLean property. Which ones there are?
They're across the street.
They're across the street.
Across, okay. That's the foundation.
Gotcha.
Yeah, right.
That's the one. No, so that one. I'll take the
I have to.
Yes.
I was trying to see if I
can. It's the same issue. The feet is this.
Right.
That I don't know. I have a town hall project. So, looking at A5, the area, what I'd like you to focus on, which you all know this area very well, but this just kind of helps put it in perspective while we're sitting here. Notice the houses that are fronting Henry Place on the south side of Henry Place. Larger homes, right? Now let's look at the houses that are on either side of Gardenway. So there's a couple of new houses out there, bigger than what may be shown here, though not much, and certainly not as large as what's shown on, or what's showing on this exhibit along Henry Place. Now let's go to A4. This is the tax map, and what I did is I circled lot 7, that's the lot that's subject to this application, and notice the lots that run along the south side of Henry Place, the larger. Notice the lots that are along Gardenway, the smaller. The objective here is to be able to construct a mall on Henry Place that is more fitting with the development pattern of Henry Place. Same thing for Gardenway. Be able to construct a home on Gardenway that's more fitting with the mall on Gardenway. Okay. So That is the simple line. We feel strongly that while we are asking for this depth, now remember this is a technicality, this depth, because the lot geometrically conforms. You require, I believe it's 50 feet wide, 60 feet deep, is what the ordinance requires in the minimum, 4,000 feet. We have 50 by 131 geometrically conforms. Because of this easement, we have to rotate it 90 degrees. Now we're measuring depth where it should be width. So the lot itself is not only size and effect, it's more than 150% larger than what's required at 4,000 square feet. So that is the logic behind that variance request. I feel it's minimal. I think that I know that the homes that can be constructed, particularly on Garden Way, that's the focus lot, can be a very nice home. It will definitely fit the development pattern of this community. So, in terms of the C2 criteria, I'm obligated as a planner to evaluate and make sure that at least one of the purposes of planning are advanced by this application. I find that there's actually a few. I think this application, for the purposes of record and law, advances planning purposes A, B, C, E, G, and I, as defined in municipal land use law. And I'm going to blow through those real quick just to put some words to it. Number one, I feel it's an appropriate development which promotes the general welfare for all the reasons I described about the lots fitting the community. I believe we can secure safety from fire, flood, panic, and other natural man-made disasters. When you're building new homes nowadays, you're building them to the latest safety standards, particularly in flood zones, so we have that opportunity. We're providing adequate light, air, and open space. The intention is that all setbacks will be met. As a matter of fact, the past two resolutions that are related to this property had a condition in the approval saying borough will not look favorably upon the variance requests related to the property. We expect the same to continue here. In other words, we will conform to the setback requirements. I believe we're establishing an appropriate population density. Again, by area, this long plan says we can have four lots, by three, we're proposing two. So the density is in check. Preservation of the environment. When you redevelop an infill lot, you're preventing expansion of development, so we've got that covered. We're providing sufficient space and appropriate location for residential use to meet the needs of New Jersey citizens. There's an ever-expanding need for housing in New Jersey, and this helps achieve that purpose of planning. We're creating a desirable visual environment. Again, going back to the discussion about why we sized the lots the way we did. And lastly, I believe that by approving this application, we can conserve property values in the neighborhood. Now, I'm also obligated to have a negative criteria, and just shooting ahead to the end, I really don't think there's been a negative impact by way of approving this application for those unique situations that I can discuss it. The use is permitted, lots are oversized, the eventual homes are going to meet the bulk requirements, particularly setbacks. The existing lot is more than four times oversized from what's required in the ordinance, and the proposed lots are closer in size to what the zoning plan is looking for. If we rotated lot 7.02, the Garden Way lot, 90 degrees, it would conform. But we have to accommodate the basic PNL easement. That's why we had to make that rotation. And I do believe that the new homes, the new lots, will fit very well into the existing development pattern that's there today along Humbry Garden Way. So for those reasons, I don't feel that this application causes substantial detriment to the public good, nor do I believe that it's substantially impaired the intent and purpose of the zone plan. I always like to highlight the word substantial when you're evaluating negative criteria. You're not looking to see if there's going to be a detriment to the public or an impairment to the zone plan. You're looking to see if there's substantial detriment or substantial impairment. And I don't believe this application rises to the level of substantial either case. So on balance, I believe that the positives of the application substantially outweigh its detriments, giving me the ability to approve this application. Thank you.
That's all I have for Mr. Fisher, and I rest.
Board members.
Yeah, I
have a question.
I have a lot of questions.
On the easement, will there be any bocce ball or or cornhole? that's an in-house joke, sorry. Go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry. What I'd like.
You made this presentation and
how's that
way this is conforming with the existing lot. So if you look at Garden Way, the smallest lot on Garden Way is only 65 feet. 75, 75, 75, 75, 65, 60, 65. And then even the one in front of you facing Ocean Avenue, which would be lot 602, is 65. And then you drop this down to 50. If you did lot 701, made it 131 by 80, and lot 702, 131 by 60, you wouldn't even get there.
That's correct.
And I think it would be more consistent with the existing lot sizes in the neighborhood. That's my opinion. I think this is very creative. I think you did a great job of it. I think you should just make that. I think you should make the 702 lot a 60-foot lot to conform with the zoning.
Right. So the intent of my discussion about the tax map is, let's forget about the mansion for a second. Look at those lots. The Embry lots are larger. The Garden Way lots are smaller.
But he had the opportunity to build the Embry house a little longer. You can't build anything permanent under the easement.
Not very long, right, because we can't go into
the easement. Yeah, but you can make the house a little longer and wider versus deep. You have a driveway now, which is closed now, or whatever Bobbin's saying.
Yeah, it's not going to be terribly wet. I actually hear you. The other thing, you mentioned there's 65, 65, we're 50. We have more area.
No, I understand that, but it's framing the houses together too close.
No, the setbacks, they won't be crammed because the setbacks will be met. The house will be sized appropriately.
I know what your response is going to be. I'd be happier if that was a 60-foot lot. Then you'd be conforming.
Hey, you're absolutely right.
As was the recommendation of our engineer.
So I spoke all
this by the need for me as well.
Oh, and I also made that note when I looked at this. Why isn't it 60 feet? I don't understand.
It would be a conforming lot.
I spoke to your engineer earlier today, right after you spoke to Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I wish I spoke to him before because he did not have the benefit of all the history on this property. I explained it to him. I think he saw the light in what we were saying. I know you guys already spoke and kind of landed in a spot. He suggested I let him know that we spoke and had a good conversation about that. The fact remains, if we push that lot only back 10 feet, we'll be fully conforming, and if that's your wish, we're at your mercy. We do feel strongly that it would be more appropriate the way it is and more fitting. But again, we're at your mercy.
What's the downside of that? Please just talk to all this. Also, the downside is pushing it back.
It's the exact opposite of the upside, I was saying. So we're going to end up getting a smaller house on Embry. It can't go that wide because of the easement. We got a smaller house. I think it'll stand out a little bit. And we'll be a little house. The house on Gordon Way would be able to be sized larger. And I don't know that he would even build it larger because that would also stand out as the large house on Garden Way.
I don't think so anymore. Garden has changed.
I saw the new houses out there. They're not that big. And those houses could fit with room to swim on proposed lot 7.2, the way it's proposed.
But on the same argument, if you look across the street on Embry, those houses aren't big either. That's a moderate size house. So I don't think it would be out of character with the street. And I think it would be performing a lot, which is what we're trying to achieve with our master plan. That's my suggestion anyway.
Like we say, if it's the board's pleasure, then we're authorized to do that.
I think this is very creative. This is a great solution.
If you look at your, let me ask you a question. On your plan, you have your dotted outline of where the setbacks are. Did you figure out what that would yield in terms of the size of the house?
We did. I mean, I don't have numbers in my
okay.
head, but basically,
I just thought that might help the board if you're.
When we drew those lines, Kenny Shaw, the applicant, he gave that a lot of thought. He wanted to make sure that that was the right size. and he thought that that would be perfectly fitting. What he's looking to do with the two neighborhoods, the Embry and the Garden.
Well, the house right next door is on a 75 by 100. I say that too. We're on 75, and then drop down to 50. I think I strongly think it should be 60.
Yeah, and you're not wrong to think. You know, it's a matter of opinion. You know, we're gonna have a weird lot there that is really large. You know, and 60 by 130.
Yeah, but the whole front yard is beautiful. You can utilize that whole front yard as long as you don't put anything permanent there. So it's very usable. It's gonna be beautiful. It's gonna be a beautiful project, but just squeeze a little house in there, I think it's going to stay.
See, that's the thing, it's not too little, and I'm going to argue, just to talk about it. That is a large, remember, 4,000 square foot lot that required, this lot is almost 6,600 square.
But you can't build on all of it because of the easement.
Right, but we do have a good chunk of area to put on there. It'll be, if we build a home to the maximum extent possible as proposed, it'll be the largest house on the block, even including the home.
How does that easement work, the stipulation for the easement?
Easement basically provides that the JCP and L, the emergency party can be DP, but believe me, I have this one way. It permits them to access the property to, for the purpose of servicing the wires. And you can't build anything, don't put anything there, but it's primarily to service the transmission.
You could pave, you could put driveway, you could just do something.
I don't know, maybe, you know, how, what it's like south of it, you got a map. I mean, I don't know how it could be real of a structure to itself without permanent structure. That's just a 60-foot swath that just goes straight south.
So you're on to something new, that was part of it.
Well, somebody felt that.
Yeah, so it goes from Sandy Hook all the way up to Long Branch, and there's encroachments along the way.
Well.
People aren't paying attention.
Yeah, apparently that's part of it. Some of it, maybe there wasn't easements in the current, I don't know. You look back in the title structure and you found out that this existed. The whole thing is.
I mean, you can service lines by installing a garage.
Oh, yeah, great.
So, boy, oh, boy, we went through a study, not to get too far off track here, we went through a study of realigning that easement, making it narrower. Got ocean involved, how close to the line feet of the house, if somebody goes up the service to roof, the setbacks around the architecture, but we did all that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it's an okay.
The long and the short of it is, it's the board's pleasure that we put the lot line, I mean, kicking and screaming, I have authority to do that, but I think, you know, we've made our argument.
You're asking for the variance, we understand.
Well, but if the board says, hey, look, you know, I don't want to come back and do this again, as a written application to go there.
Well, you don't have to.
I may be the only one, but the variance doesn't bother me, I'll be honest. I don't think they're asking for that much, and I think the larger house does a lot on your brain.
I mean, it doesn't bother me.
Instead of you looking at 90, you have 60 and 80, is what you're saying.
Right.
60 and 80, instead of 50 and 90. 50 feet, I'm just more curious about.
Going to the engineer's review letter, you can represent that you'll be able to provide two parking spaces per dwelling unit?
Yes, so when I spoke to the engineer earlier today, we didn't go through point by point. I did have a couple of questions on the letter, but by and large, we were looking to conform to that letter.
Okay.
Beginning there.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're authorized to make that presentation. I mean, Carrie, would you?
I don't know if I can hear what you're calling.
We're about to.
Yeah, look, don't get in yet.
I just think that if there's no hardship involved, use it to make it a conforming lot, I think that's what I'm asking.
But is there hardship that they want to build a bigger house on?
And remember, they're not asking for hardship variance, by the way.
No, we are.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, there is.
You're going under C?
I think we said that as both.
As both, I thought.
I think it's.
Yeah.
We presented both. Again, we could take the dimensions of these two lots as is, rotate it 90 degrees with a conforming.
Yeah, but you can't, so we know that.
We can't because of the easement, that's our hardship.
Okay.
Also, I think the rest of the C company, in fact, it's a unique lot, it's huge.
Right.
It's a self-created hardship, not because somebody gave them an easement at some point. No, I know that.
I think some of the board should look at it, they could do the 60, 80, and then come back with setback variances with a larger house. Yeah, that could be a future also, so you should take that into consideration when making, this.
I mean, I agree on what's in public, but in principle, I have no issue.
So if the board's through, open it to the public. Is there anyone in the public that has a question of the testimony or a statement?
JCP, off the public.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. My name is Grace Bertone, I'm the outside counsel for Jersey Central Power and Light. This is Karen Fickle, who's your area manager for this area.
Well.
I can't write that fast, could you just give me your name again?
Certainly, it's Grace, and the last name is Bertone, E-R-T-O-N-E.
Okay, and?
Kieran Tindall, K-I-E-R-A-N, Tintle, T-I-N-T-L-E.
Thanks. And Karen, what's your position?
Area manager, Jason Keno.
Thank you.
Karen's territory includes Sue Wright, so that's what he's here to see.
So you're keeping that open to bury all the power lines? Is that, is that why you're keeping that easement open? Welcome to Sebring.
One thing we should note, this is a transmission line, not a distribution line, so it's a higher level of distribution, which is why over the past several years, and I've known the applicant as well as Mr. Whitting and the engineer for 5 years now, and we've been working very hard to find a really creative way to let them do what they needed to do there without infringing on the easement. And this is probably the most creative thing I've seen in a long time doing this. So we really are in favor of this because it stays completely outside of their easement. You know, they could still, you know, they could be grass, they could be driveways, it just can't be obstructions or buildings. So for us, this is really a perfect solution and we're really in favor of it. But I thought if anyone has any questions about the easement in general,
well, we got questions about the easement. It's not limited to this application. You may not want to open that door to that.
Literally, I've spent years on this subject, so I'm really, really open to anybody asking me at any time for anything else as well. I know a lot about this.
I know that the council's going to want to meet with you, and that's been expressed to him or not previously. So you're going to have to set up an appointment.
I'd be happy.
Because it's actually hurting development in our town right now, and we got to do something about it. But that's not for sale.
Yeah, and Mr. Whitting is correct that it's not, at least as far as I know, it's not 66 feet the whole length. Even though the transmission line runs for miles, the easements are not.
I'm sure they vary.
They vary. They weren't all given by the same people.
At the same time.
Well,
if they're not willing to give up any part of it.
It's very difficult to get easements from anybody now, especially in New Jersey. But the most important thing is that typically for transmission, and I'm sure Karen can attest to this, typically we're like 100 feet for transmission. So this is actually smaller than the typical transmission line would be.
And that's for
It's especially when you get big trucks now, so because of the National Electrical Standards, if there's a sway on the line or the line breaks and it's a higher line and it's higher voltage, it has to be further away from buildings. So there's lots of reasons.
They could insulate their lines, by the way. They have the technology. Just saying.
But I just wanted to make sure that we were on the record and that we really think it's a creative approach. And it's the end of 5 years of discussion about all this.
What have you guys done about, you know, I guess people hinged upon quite a few places?
Until very recently, we haven't really known too much about it. This is the issue that's not really come up all that often. And then and I think with another one, right?
Until a long
So it really has come up more often now. But the ones that are already there, some of the improvements that are there for years. And we haven't done full title searches to see which ones are really encroachments and which ones are just very close to our easement line. And some things are done where there is no easement at all. So if it's something that's not actually encroaching, you can't do a lot about it. And I think the thought is that the customers who have been there for a long period of time, unless there's some urgent need, we're not going to go to that person.
Unless the line falls and they need to get in there.
Right. If something happens and we're not going to let somebody rebuild there now that we know it's a problem, but if it's an existing structure, we're not going to make somebody take down their existing structure unless there really is a problem there.
There is a transmission line there now.
Yes.
It does run through there.
It does. Yes, we've been out there together.
And it runs the whole way.
It does.
You can see it.
If
you have an imagination, you can picture the train running.
But actually, it's really a good spot. You can see it pretty clearly going like across the street. There's the marina. So it's pretty up in there. You can see it going over there. Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been involved in this with you.
Yes.
When I studied it, many points are only 25 feet.
Yes.
And then they jump to 66 and back to 25.
Yep.
But if 25 foot seems to be a reasonable access to me, why can't we just recreate a new 25 corridor down the lines and give relief to everybody who is
losing? Because I don't want to.
Question for the engineering folks. That 25 is way narrower than we would normally ever put engineering standards. I mean, like I said before, 50 feet is the normal width on these. And the really higher pole lines, like the big monopoles that you see, those are usually 200 foot lines. So this is transmission at a lower voltage than those, but it's still transmission that serves a lot of customers.
So your education along the way, we worked with them on that very issue. We had a draft circulate between them and us where we proposed a narrower easement. I think it was that big direction.
32 feet.
And it didn't get done, which means it didn't really meet their criteria. So we made that effort.
But I couldn't tell you too without telling tales. I still, I think the local engineering staff and the local business here were hoping that Jason Hill's parent, First Energy, would agree to that, to the 32 feet, and that the much higher corporate level, like, that's not enough. So we were hoping to get a smaller distance. 32 was about as fair minimum as the local engineering folks would say. And actually, they also, they did an NESC, National Electrical Safety Code studies, and she came within inches. On a prior plant. So this 25 feet is really narrow.
And that's as far as to get Mr. Shaw certified by OSHA to do the work in that proximity to that line for the training course.
Wow.
So in addition to the NESC, there's OSHA issues with people doing construction work so close to electrical lines.
So in fact, has it ever been used in any part of these?
As far as I know, it hasn't been. Yeah. And we haven't done a full time search of the entire mobile plane, but as Mr. Lexie said, part of the reason is that the searches are not typically done by title companies going back far enough. So now we're starting to see. So now when any customer comes to us with a project, we ask for title work. We say, please have your title company do 100-year searches. Because the 60-year typical search is missing it.
Yeah, and a lot of the deeds will say subject to the easement of JCP&L, which probably every one of us, even without Seabright, has on their property, because it's like a 10-foot easement.
Right.
And that's what you assume. But
when we first started talking, that's what you thought there was to be.
Right.
Because it was just subject to easements of record.
Exactly.
The typical one is runs along the front yard.
Right. That's it. And then nobody actually pulls the easement of record unless there's an issue.
Most people think it's the easement that runs across and find where the pole is.
Right.
But this one just happens to be running through the whole thing.
Yeah,
the effect this has on the whole town and the whole development in our town in the future. Is there any thought of bringing these wires underground?
Dave, I'm not sure it would help you though, because even if it went underground, they're going to take the 65.
Have to be as wide because
they're not giving up any width.
We are going to have to move off the easement.
We can seriously talk all night about it.
I'd be happy to come back another day.
I'll
make it
with Kieran.
Yep.
You have your
card?
I do.
Sorry.
We'll both give you our cards.
I have his.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And just for the record, Dave, we did really try and give Grace and her team's credit on boots on the ground here. We really did. It's not like, everybody there was there's no will between people. So, it's appropriate for me, I think, to say that.
Is there anyone else in the public that has a statement or a question about any of the testimony? If not, the public portion is closed.
Can I go back, because again, it's a senior moment. Grace and Kieran, Grace, I'm not going to ask you, but did Kieran say anything? Because I did not speak.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Grace is an attorney. She doesn't need to. She made representations, but I couldn't remember if Kieran said anything other than his name, so that's fine. Thank you.
He did shake his head a couple of times.
You swear that your head shaking was no.
Well, that's all I have. I would ask, Mr. Chairman, if we could poll the board, if possible, if that's something you would consider, without changing the lot line, just so that I can get an idea. Comments that you could set your lines a little bit. I know that it was going to seem pretty adequate with a lot, but I think I think given all the circumstances, it makes a lot of sense. So I would respectfully request that we could maybe pull the board.
I don't have a problem with it. I don't. If something tells me you don't need to, but I know there was. We might
be.
You'd like to see it 60?
I would like to see 50. We have these regulations for a purpose. Why? And if it could conform, why not?
Because I think in this case, it's actually going to be more conforming to the neighborhood if the larger houses are anybody.
Okay, I'll walk that street all the time with my dog.
And the larger houses are anybody.
Well, let's just see what everybody's saying.
Can I add one thing? That you bring up a really good point. If you don't mind, I just want to throw this out there. When ordinances are written, they cannot be written for every lot. They're never perfect. For that reason, the municipal land use law provides for C variances and B variances. If you request those variances, you have to provide proofs as to why you think that's appropriate. So I think in this case, with the easement and the extraordinary situation we're facing, that's where those variance requests becomes appropriate. So I just wanted to throw that.
I personally don't have a problem with the variance either. Although I did.
I'm okay with it.
Well, I mean, all the lots on the other side of the street are 65 and 70. I didn't want to put a 50.
They're shallow.
They're also on the.
Steven?
They've been very gracious, but on the one hand,
they're not. That easy to move.
Yeah.
I live in a 50 that's supposed to be 75, and it's changed after that. But the reason it is sort of spin, you know, we're not talking frontage, we're not trying to enable a subdivision with less than the normal or necessary frontage. So it's for a different, you know, sort of consistencies of you know, the houses, as we know, I think anyway, are probably, you know, continue to get somewhat larger. So I think you could have them be as consistent as possible at this stage. Garden Ways, all in, we know it's for a number of monkeys. So I think I can get over to 50 based on the recent work. Thank you. I mean, I'd love to have 60, but I think, you know, you have to sort of balance.
That was after a poll.
The worst thing if I make a motion to approve the application and the motion fails, there's always going to be a second motion to grant the application along the second line. So,
I think she's
perfect. Right.
Yeah, let me just say this. The 80-60 makes sense that Dave's saying. I understand that you could still build a larger house on Henry if you came back and asked for your rear yard setback variance. And you could have 10 feet more on the 80-60 lot. And whether there's more of a branch of the, you know, smaller backyard. So you have, you know, you have to find out at that time whether it's still allowed to build a larger lot if you think 60 is a larger house.
I have a 5,000 square foot house on a 75 foot lot. I don't need 9.
No, that's what I'm saying. My 80-60 makes sense. The 80-60 makes sense.
I'm just saying.
In light of the fact that you know the answer to the public.
Right, I'll make a motion to approve the application as proposed based on the fact that I think it's more consistent with what's existing on these properties. And we need to get these lots developed because it's standing out right now as an undeveloped lot. So I think it's a benefit for the community. My motion.
I'll second.
And just for the record, the applicant has agreed that they'll meet all setbacks, that they'll conform with the engineer's review letter.
Yes, that's correct.
And they'll, which includes the providing that the two spaces of input.
Right. Okay.
We have a roll call, please.
Cashmore?
Yes.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
DeGiulio?
No.
Vice Chairman DeCio?
I'd like to see 60, so I'll say no at this point, but I don't want to stop him from moving forward. I'll say no at this point.
This is the only point you got. Dave, we did you a favor in the last meeting.
This motion itself would be a second motion.
Councilman Lexby?
Yes.
Schwartz? Smith?
Yes.
Duffy?
Yes.
McGinn?
You're safe, Dave.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
Before we go to the master plan review, I'm going to take a 2-minute break.
Why does this?
I want to take a 2 minute break.
No, I know.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to take a recess for 2 minutes.
That room there?
Of course it would have, but I just think it's more appropriate to do it the way they're proposing it.
That's done.
Because the houses are legal and entering. They are. But that need, but the neighborhood's developing that way.
Yeah.
Just one lot.
He's around the corner on the big lot.
Yeah, me too.
So it's not that that doesn't meet the logic.
Okay. They seem to feel they can get a bigger house in Embry and a smaller house on Garden Way. Smaller house than the Embry house.
Yeah. You look at where the dots are.
Yeah. I know.
Oh my God.
What happened?
No.
What?
No, nothing. It's okay.
Nothing.
Your daughter.
No, my daughter's. Oh my God. Look, read this. Can we drop Bianca off some ice cream? Her boyfriend broke up with her. Tom is next week. That's nasty.
That really is wrong.
Wait, men. Tom is next week?
Yes, that's me.
That's horrible.
Men.
I'm glad I have this on the record.
And we already bought his tux.
On to Michael Smith.
Sorry, man. Mr. Chairman, I have reviewed again the jurisdictional packet presented by the applicant. Their notice, their affidavit of mailing and publication, all are in good order. I've marked the jurisdictional packet as A1, and I have marked as A2 the architectural plans. By Shore Point, I have, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the original date of 3/3/15 revised to 1/5/16. Okay. And you are?
I am Michael Smith.
Okay. I'm going to swear you in. And
before Mr. Williams, right, I'm an attorney. I do practice.
Ah.
That's certainly municipal law, but I'm happy to be sworn in as well.
Well, I wouldn't swear you in if you were going to act as an attorney. If you're going to act as the applicant, I'm throwing you under the oath here. You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give is truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Okay. It's Michael Smith. You are the person.
Good evening, yes, I am the applicant. I'm 620 Ocean Avenue, also the owner. With me here tonight, just as a matter of introduction, my wife, Catherine Smith, who's also the co-owner of the property, and Andrew Fitzpatrick, Shore Point Architecture, the architectural firm that prepared the plans. We're here before the board tonight to request approval for 2 variances, both regarding an accessory structure and a garage. The first is that the garage be located at the front of the property as part of the principal structure. The second is that the property exceed 500 square feet, you're proposing 669 square feet. The reason for the 2 variances that we're requesting, first, that the garage be located at the front of the principal structure is that, frankly, we have 2 young children. We're trying to create a buffer between highway and certain traffic at home. So by doing that, putting the garage up front, having a fence there, of course, keep the traffic down between the home and the children. That is really the primary reason for the request. I would like to note also that the garage does not open onto Route 36. You have to come into the property and the driveway that's already there and turn into the garage and take the left turn. So there will be no ingress, egress directly in and out of the garage on Route 36. I think that's the safest thing as well. And we also sadly have designed a garage, so I think it has a minimal impact as you drive by. The garage has a couple of windows on the east side. Nice one, this is on here, of course. The second variant is very simply it's a two-car garage, but the fact that the principal structure is going to be on piles, we thought it would be helpful to have it in the storage space, which can be attached to a 150-foot, 169-square-foot garage, shed on the garage. So the idea is just to have some place to take it, the lawnmower, the tools, etc. So other than that, all other aspects of the project are performing, setbacks, etc. If there are any questions for me, I'm happy to answer those. I also got the architect here if you prefer to ask me some questions. She's happy to speak.
Is there any plumbing going into this garage?
Absolutely not.
Well, that we agree to a condition of approval that there be no, never be any plumbing in this garage?
Never, ever.
Thank you.
Only electricity.
That was very nice. Well, I wanted to make sure there's no punch. No, I know.
You going to live here year round?
Yes, sir.
Good. We're going to keep that garage so far away from nothing.
It looks great to me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be back.
I'll never own a house now that the log's in the house.
I, you know, frankly, we would have preferred to probably do that if we were an older age and older children.
Yeah. Just put a fence up.
And all you're doing is you're replacing the existing garage in that spot, right?
I think it might be moving a couple of feet here.
But it's basically, there already is a garage.
There was a garage there. Everything has been done.
Everything's been done for that. I got nothing.
Yep.
I don't think we need to go from there. Unless someone really does.
Happy to sit down.
Questions from the board about the applicant or his application?
Like I said, you replaced the garage so far away. Windy and raining.
20 years from now, I'll be asking for a garage to go for
a breeze wet. If there's no questions from the board members, is there anyone in the public that has a question about the testimony or a statement about this application? If not, the public portion is now closed. Any discussion or a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the application with the stipulation condition that there be no plumbing put into the building. Ever.
Not even a hose to water the.
No. Well, how about we just, why don't you just say I have a hose outside of the store?
You can put a hose, there's just no plumbing in the building.
You can't create a
habitable space
that would be conducive to living in.
Oh, that's why I don't want to
be habitable
space. Take out a direct condition, it can never be occupied as a residence.
Well, that's or an arm.
I'm saying no habitable space. That should be.
No, but the problem is you put plumbing in the building. That
means
plumbing. Yeah. I'm including the no plumbing.
Thank you.
I'm adding on.
No plumbing ever be used.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Yes. Steve.
Cashmore?
Yes.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
DiDulio?
Yes.
Vice Chairman DiCio?
Yes.
Councilman Lexby?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Duffy?
Yes.
McGinley?
Yes.
Good luck. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. It's strong umbrella.
I came here in 1978, so I lived through it all. I need to understand.
You're a good team.
Where do you practice, Bob?